Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter number 4. I'm going to single out one verse tonight to get us started, and then we will look at a few more other verses in our brief time together tonight and as far as our service is concerned. The book of Philippians, chapter 4, and I'm reading a verse tonight that undoubtedly has to be one of the most favorite verses you find in Scripture. Many, many people have adopted this particular verse as their favorite, and rightly so. Let me read verse number 19, and I've chosen this verse tonight and the theme that I'm speaking upon, namely, our needs supplied, at a time that I think that we need to be reminded of how God does indeed supply our needs and how He takes care of us through these difficult times. So I want to read verse number 19, if I may. The Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And let's pray. Father, tonight as we bow before the throne of grace, we do so, Lord, this evening, not worthy in and of ourselves, but we've been made worthy because of our Savior's redemptive work. We thank You tonight, Heavenly Father, that we as the people of God can say, it is well with our soul. We know tonight, dear Father, that You do supply the greatest and the deepest needs of our lives. We know that many times we do not get what we want, but yet at the same time, it's not told that we're going to be supplied our wants, but it does say our needs. So, Lord, I do pray this evening that You would comfort the hearts of the families that grieve at this point of time over the losses of precious loved ones. I pray, Heavenly Father, for the Bowden family tonight. I do pray for Sister Ruby and, Lord, for Barbara and for Carol and their family. And, Lord, I pray also tonight for the McBrayer family. Pray for Carolyn, loss of her dear husband for all these years. And then, Lord, I pray tonight for Kevin and his sisters. And, Lord, I just pray that the service tomorrow would be an encouragement. Pray for my dear friend tonight who's lost his wife, my preacher friend, known them for so many years. And, Lord, I just pray that You'll minister to Brother Joe's heart. And I pray this evening also for my friend over in West Virginia, Brother Garney Anderson, that has broken some ribs and is getting older and has got some issues. Pray that You'd be with Tim, his son, and Kevin, and also the rest of their family. Now, Lord, bless us tonight, and may we enjoy a time together in the Word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we think of God supplying our needs, I think it's good that we be reminded of who God is, that we be reminded of a name, one of the names for God in the Bible. And that name is Jehovah Jireh. And that name has the definition, God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. It's God's character to be faithful. To be faithful. And He's faithful to provide. The verse that I read this evening is a much quoted verse. It is a beloved verse. It is a celebrated verse. It is a soft pillow for many of us, believing, knowing, trusting, and experiencing the fact that God does provide. We sometimes get our wants mixed up with our needs, because that's human nature. And it's good that we know the difference. It's one thing to expect God to supply our wants, but another thing for God to supply our needs. And this does say needs, not wants. The truth is, even getting our wants supply will not necessarily make us happy. There's a lot of people tonight in this world who have their wants supplied, but they're not too happy. Think about the misery on the part of some of the wealthiest people that have ever lived. Now, I do like some of the little quips and quotes that a few people have made in reference to the matter of money. Someone said, whoever said that money cannot buy happiness, they didn't know what they were talking about. Because not all agree. In fact, someone said this, whoever said that money can't buy happiness doesn't know where to shop. Another person said, money can't buy happiness, but it sure does make sadness easier to bear. So I don't know, maybe there's a little truth to that in a sense. But now here's something that we need to factor in. We need to read in the context of verse 19. Have you ever noticed that we're guilty time and time again of taking one verse of Scripture and running with it? We don't spend enough time looking at the context of a verse. Okay, what's the context of verse 19? Well, we need to start at verse 15. So let's do a little reading. Let me begin reading at verse 15 and let's see the context of verse 19. Verse 15. Paul said, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So now this gives us a thought. This helps us to understand that Paul was talking here in the context about the Philippian people, or the people at Philippi. He was talking about them, and secondly, he is talking about what they did in terms of their benevolence. So we've got to see that in this context. Let me keep reading. Verse 16. Even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Verse 18 is very important. But I have all and abound. How many people would say that today? I have all and abound. That doesn't sound very like the truth, does it? I mean, after all, the man's in prison when he wrote this. But he said, I have all and abound. Which lets us understand something right off the bat. He is not talking about financial material things here. He just didn't have them. He's in jail. So, when he says, I have all and abound, he is not talking about material physical things. We've got to see that in that. But I'm not through reading yet. Look at verse 18 again. I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. From you. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then, keep verse 19 in the context, but my God shall supply all your need. Now, who's he talking about your need? He's talking about the people there that were so good to him, that supplied his needs, that financially, morally, and spiritually supported him. He is saying God is going to turn around and bless you for your benevolence. He's going to bless you because you've given. You've been generous. You've been giving to me, to my needs. And it's as though Paul is saying God is going to supply your need. And he's primarily talking about those that were supporting him. It's okay to make application, but it's better to make application with context. We must always remember to do that. This verse does not mean that God's people can expect to get everything they want. It's not teaching that at all. which we see when we begin to study it out. It doesn't mean, and here's some things it doesn't mean. Okay, it doesn't mean that believers will never experience times of need. Paul endured trouble. He endured lack of funds. He endured hunger. He endured persecution. But it would appear to me when he said, God will supply all your need, he's looking at it at a higher notch. He's considering it not from the standpoint of even health or wealth or material things. He's considering it from the standpoint of the things that we need the most, that count the most in God's sight. Grace to bear. Joy for the journey. Those things. You see, I believe the primary thought here is not physical, material needs, but it's spiritual needs. They're just like this. You and I may get sick tomorrow, but we can count on God giving us the grace to bear it. Amen. Our health might go south on us as quickly as people are coming south, heading from the south. But whatever our lot be, as Ashley just sang, and that song ties in exactly, to say it's well with my soul, that's really God supplying our greatest need. It's well with our soul. This man that wrote that song had lost his family primarily, his children. But he still has that peace of God that passeth all understanding. My God shall supply all your need. And he knew that by experience. Now, okay, let's stay with the thought here. Paul had learned the secret of facing plenty and of facing hunger and of facing abundance and of facing need. And locate chapter 4, verse number 12. Let me read that. Look at it, please, with me. All right, look what he learned. Verse 12, I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But the key thing I want you to see, he said, I know how to live in absence of things. I know how to live with abundance of things. Now, understand this about that then. That ties in with what he said. My God shall supply all your need. Paul is saying, God has given me the ability to live with few things and to live with many things. He's given me coping ability. He's given me grace to handle what life throws at me. Now that's God really supplying a major need. Most people, in their immature thinking and shallow thinking, always want to take Philippians 4:19 and plug it into a material thing. But it's not what it's teaching at all. Philippians 4:19 promises that God's faithful servants will be fully supplied with what they need to continue to serve Him. To serve Him. Sometimes what we need is strength to persevere through times of hardship. Look at verse 13. Sometimes we need strength. Verse 13, what does it say? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Actually using the word strength. It is a major provision when God gives us strength. That's a major provision. Psalm 18:29. Does anybody happen to have their Bible handy? Would someone read Psalm 18:29 for us, please? You folks didn't expect this, did you? You read the sign outside, didn't you? Brother Calvin put up. What did that sign say, Brother Calvin? I wished I could have thought of that. Okay. Thank you, brother. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm letting God interrupt some of y'all's plans. Some of y'all didn't plan on having to read a verse. But would someone please read out loud, good and loud, so everybody out there in radio land can hear you. Read Psalm 18:29, please. If 28 is better than 29, read 28. Take your pick, sister. Go ahead. Okay, excellent. Thank you. By my God have I leaped over a wall. The testimony of the psalmist is that God supplied for him the need to conduct himself in a way that was compatible with the challenges he was facing. Courage, strength to do what he needed to do. We can say this. My God shall supply all my needs because day by day God gives us the grace and strength to meet every new challenge. Now would someone else please read 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. Amen. To make all grace abound. Now we're beginning to see that Philippians 4:19 is talking about the things that we need the most. God will supply the needs that we need the most. Not the things we want, but what we need the most. We see that. The same David now who conquered giants and specifically conquered the giant, Goliath, would later say in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. You know, even when we face death, we don't have to fear deprivation because God's going to be with us. I've seen it so often. I've seen it testified so many times in the lives of people in our church. Brother Homer Bowden is an example of that. Never did you find him complaining. He knew what his health history was as he got towards the end of his life upon this earth, but you never heard him complain. Never. Only a Christian receiving God supplying needs can live that way in light of a terminal illness. I'm telling you, that's a blessing far greater than an extra boost in our bank account. He supplies the grace and the power that we need to serve Him and to endure through every adversity. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, would someone read? 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9. Second Corinthians 12 and verse 9.
He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most glad is therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon you.
Amen. Thank you, Cassandra. My grace is sufficient for thee. I'm just wanting us to see tonight that God supplying our needs are deeper than what we tend to many times think. You know, I'm thinking right now of what's happening in the Ukraine. Let me give you an illustration. Right now, while I'm speaking, that country is being devastated by war. But that country, those brave people, keep fighting. How are they fighting? Well, first of all, there's that strong nationalistic spirit. They're defending their homeland. And I'll tell you that that nationalistic spirit is the greatest asset to have when it comes to fighting a war, when you're fighting for your own homeland, and in their case, their own freedom. But how are they doing it? When the war started, the Ukrainian army really was not that well supplied during the early days. It was not that well supplied. And then Russia, like a steamroller, comes moving in, leveling the towns, destroying the buildings, targeting civilians, killing children, bombing hospitals, even killing people that are trying to retreat. And what that has done, that stirred up the NATO nations to get involved. And secondly, that's only given more determination on the part of those people to fight to the bitter end if they have to. But now, consequently, what that's also meant is our country and NATO countries are supplying them with arms. And they're taking the arms that we're supplying them with, and they're fighting the enemy. So they're receiving, they're fighting, they're receiving, they're fighting. You know, the principle I want to mention tonight is this. God gives us, we give it out. God gives us, we give it out. Paul is saying, you gave to me, you supplied my needs, and my God will supply all your need. You know, you can never outgive God. But now, I'm not talking about just the matter of tithes and offerings. A person with a generous spirit, I have observed down through the years that God always returns the blessing. And they're blessed as they give. And they receive as they give out. It's just kind of a principle. You know, we talk about that verse, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. When people sow in generosity, they reap in generosity from above. As they give, they receive from the giver. They're supplied. They are supplied. I would point out something tonight. when we look at verse 19, we tend to always emphasize this receiving verse. You know, verse 19 is a receiving verse. But we need to also read the giving verse. That's verse 18. Verse 18 is the giving verse. Verse 19 is the receiving verse. And again, a good question to always ask ourselves, as I'm expecting to receive, am I giving? Because the context points that out. But now, there is a problem that is found among God's people sometimes. And it is a problem called selfishness. It's thinking of ourselves. It's dwelling upon our needs. It's thinking about what I need at the expense of not focused enough on what other people need. Sometimes selfishness feeds that attitude. It was put like this. You remember the old, what was this person that would always say, you might be a redneck if, what was that guy's name? Okay. You know, the guy that told the redneck jokes, you know, you might be a redneck if. Well, someone sort of changed it around. They said, you might be selfish if. You might be selfish if. You pick up the last piece of chicken, take a bite out of it, and hold up and say, does anybody want this? Or you might be a selfish person if you know all of the words of the song, I Did It My Way. Or you might be a selfish person if you have a lifetime subscription to Self Magazine. Or you might be a selfish person if you rush to be the first in line at a funeral procession. Funeral procession. Now, I've got something to tell on myself. Now, promise me that no one will remember this or hold it against me. And turn the volume down. I don't want anybody out there to know that this happened to me out there in radio land. Don't want each y'all to know about this. But this happened to me. You're probably thinking, how many more other dumb things going to happen to you, Pastor? Well, here's another one of the many. One time I was in Winston-Salem or Greensboro, and I sit in a parking lot of this particular place where I happen to be, wanting to get out. It seemed like the traffic was never ending, constantly coming and going. I could not get out of that parking lot. And I sit in that parking lot, and it just seemed like it was bumper to bumper on the road in front of the parking lot. It was bumper to bumper. I happened to see a small spot. Now, why are you laughing, Cheryl? Now, you don't know what I'm about to say. I happened to see a small spot in that line of traffic, and I jumped in it, and when I got in it, I found out to my surprise that the guy behind me had his headlights on. And then it dawned on me that I jumped right in the middle of a funeral procession. Do y'all ever do dumb stuff like that? I guess the only thing that would have been worse, that had added to the problem of the moment, would have been if my car would have died on me. Or someone one time said that you could be a selfish person if your favorite picture at home is the mirror. But now to get back on a serious thought here for just a moment. You know, we're living in difficult, trying, and dangerous times. But we must, in spite of it all, keep serving God, keep giving, and keep being a blessing, confident of how we keep living and giving and serving, God will keep blessing and blessing and blessing. We look around and we see so many things that have us so bothered. Storm clouds are gathered. War storm clouds are gathered over the world right now as that war is raging in Eastern Europe. We see storm clouds gathering over our culture, which is rotten to the core. Storm clouds are gathering over the homes of even Christians as they're facing financial problems and health problems and other issues that are going on. But the sky, however, I'd point out tonight, is blue and clear in terms of the security that we have as a Christian. I like what Ralph Hudson said. He put this in a song. Never fear the clouds of sorrow. Never fear the storms of sin. We shall triumph on the morrow. Even now our joy begins. Wave the banner, shout his praises, for our victory is nigh. Following our conquering Savior, we shall reign with him on high. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Ralph Hudson said that. I believe we ought to keep sort of a little motto in mind when it comes to the matter of serving, giving, trusting, yet expecting God to keep supplying our needs. Here's a statement I want to give you tonight, kind of in a form of a motto. It's good that we always remember who we are, whose we are, where we are, what we are to do and why we can expect to win. We need that. I'm going to repeat it. We need to always remember who we are, whose we are, where we are, what we are to do, and why we can expect to win. We have to win because Christ has won. We're going to make it. We may as well enjoy the journey, hadn't we? Nothing happens in this world that will ever successfully thwart God's plan for the church. He will remain, or it will remain, I'm talking now about the church, it will remain a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. We can be confident of this, and I'm closing with these thoughts. It says here, my God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We can be confident of his provision, his provision of substance, his provision of satisfaction, his provision of strength, and his provision of supply. So folks, keep giving, keep living, keep serving, keep trusting, keep your Christian testimony shining for God. And as we give, we can be confident that God will supply our needs to live for Him, to serve Him, to make it through this chaotic world in which we're living. He'll supply us with that which we really need. We may sometimes have to substitute a veggie meal for a meat meal, or we may have to do without of a few things in this life. And by the way, if Jesus doesn't come, we probably, all of us, will have to know a little bit about suffering, if we haven't already. We're going to know some trying times. But isn't it great to know that God promises He'll supply our need? He'll give us the grace to get through it. He'll give us the joy to still be able to serve. He'll give us a future and a hope and a promise. And that's more important than anything else, when you stop and think about it. So, Paul told those that were so good to him, he said, God's going to supply your needs. So let's keep being good to others, looking at self less and others more. And God, what do you call it? Reciprocity? My West Virginia background in the English language sometimes get tangled up a little bit. Reciprocity, I guess that's the word. Anyway, I'll end on a smile. Y'all rather me end with a smile anyway, right? I'll end on that note. Let's have prayer. Father, thank you for our time of study tonight in the Word of God, and bless it to our understanding and heart. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, what's the song, Brother Jim? We'll sing at least a stanza tonight. And if we got some folks tonight that are watching that do not know Savior and salvation, why not settle that tonight? And let's learn to trust God for our needs. Brother Jim.